Great to be back. I'm sure you're eager. There's no way the first question's about Nick, is it? Gave us a just rolled his ankle yesterday, and he's got a low ankle sprain. Gonna do the walkthrough today. We're not sure how extensive, if at all, he's gonna practice. But he's confident, got a great plan. Fully expect him to play. So good, you know. Right where we want to be. So, but he's doing great and moving around. Just got to make sure we handle it and handle it the right way. And probably going to be over careful and over cautious at this point to make sure we're rolling going into the weekend.
Hey, Coach, over here on the left. You know, you talk about playing a style that nobody wants to match. How does that figure into your practice philosophy in terms of padded practices and getting ready for a game like this?
We practice the amount of reps and intensity on what we feel like what we need to do to go play our best football. So sometimes it's putting pads on to make sure our pad level is up to snuff and our physicality is ready to go. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we call it ACT practice. Sometimes we're in ACT tempo. We're changing tempos all the time. Sam Ramsey does a great job of helping us on a daily basis of what the guys' outputs are and what they can handle and when we can push and when we can't. So, I feel like our injury history over the last 2 years is just as good as anybody else in the league. So you can test me on that one, but I'm pretty sure we're up there.
Hey, Coach, over here. Mark Fuechrel, how are you?
Hey, good to see you.
You pulled me aside after opening night and said you'd wish you'd answered my question a little bit differently. That question was, to get to this point, you had to sacrifice a lot. And what do you feel was the biggest thing that you had to sacrifice to get here?
Well, you know, actually reflecting on it, it's not really me that's sacrificed. The layup answer is time. But to me, it's what are your loved ones willing to sacrifice? I mean, there's some things that you inevitably have to miss, which you don't want to. But I think of what my wife has sacrificed up to this point. You know, a couple years ago, we were playing the AFC Championship game, and 2 days later, we flew to Seattle, and we stayed there, you know, all the way across the country. And in the moment, you know, it felt like that was a big, you know, it was obviously a huge decision, but, man, we're really blessed and happy that that happened. And, you know, it's funny how those things have a way of shaking out that way, but you have to have faith in the process and took a lot of faith on her part. So I think it's probably your loved ones around you.
Mike, right here. When you got here and you and John were sort of assessing the roster, just how are those conversations in terms of here's how we're going to build it out, the moves we need to make, and then maybe how has it kind of played out relative to what you thought it would?
Well, I think that was also a process with pretty much everything else we've done in our program since we got here. I really enjoyed, you know, understanding what our people thought of our players. A lot of our players, you know, we've talked about throughout the season, you know, the Drake Thomas is a world, the Ty Akata is a world that I wasn't very familiar with coming in. I think it was a balance of like, hey, these are the physical traits or things that we want our players to be able to do at these given positions. But I don't think that we're like rigid and saying like, this guy has to be like this. Go find me a Nick Amon where he's got to be 6'3", he's got to run a 4'3". It's like, there's only so many of those people walking the planet, you know. But it's also mentality, it's, you know, communication, I mean, all those different types of things. It's their love for football, I think, which was something that we shared from the get-go, the toughness factor, the grit factor, those types of things. We're definitely aligned from the get-go.
Hey, Coach, right here. Your team excels at tackling just at a high level. Your team tackles, and especially effectively. What was the process like getting your team to that level tackling, and why is it so important to effectively tackle on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I have to give just about all the credit to Chris Partridge. You know, when we were at Michigan after I left, and I don't want to quote Coach Harbaugh here because I wasn't there, but basically created like a Finnish coach, and CP was there for that. And he had an idea of kind of building out a curriculum for us on how we want to finish plays. And we ended up calling it EAT, effort, angle, and tackling. And CP has spearheaded that project from the day one. The guys love it. And it's something we drill the the fundamental of tackling and finishing every day. We do it as a team. We do it in our warm-up before games. It's just kind of part of our DNA, and the guys take a lot of pride in it. And when it hits, you know, it's the way that you want it. It's powerful stuff. And when you don't hit it, it can get ugly. So the guys understand the importance of it, and we take a lot of pride in it.
Hi, Coach. Just one more about Nick. It's not about the injury, but you've seen a lot of football players. How do you react to a rookie player who's able to learn fast and fly all around the field like that? And is it even surprising for some of the players on the team?
Well, I think this is a great example of, can we have buy-in? Really, if you draft a player, it's great to have alignment behind it because you know that you're going to be investing like full tilt into their development, what they have. Nick's kind of a special example of that, but it's still, you know, kind of apples to apples, is even if you were to pick like a fifth or sixth rounder. But I think it was all hands on deck. The coaches having a vision for what we wanted to create, Nick being bought in, committed to doing those like daily steps. And then, you know, our veterans on our team, it's easy for vets to be like, hey, you drafted this guy. Okay, is he here to replace me? What's the deal? You know, okay, do we really want that? You know, how much do we help the guy? I think the beauty behind our team is like our vets have embraced our rookies. Our rookies have had a lot of respect for our veterans from the day they walked in the door. And it's meshed really well where each side can really push each other. And I think that's how you get to where we are today with Nick. So it's a great example of how we want to operate.
Hey, Mike, you've talked about connection on this team, and just now you talked about veterans and the young players' connection. I'm wondering if you could talk about your assistant coach's connection to the players and how that spread out and built up for your defense and offense.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's, I've never had our staff before, but before last year, but as you're visualizing, hey, what's important to us, how we want to operate as a coaching staff, as a football team, you know, if you and I aren't connected and I'm coaching you, there's no way in heck you're going to ever do anything that I'm asking you to do. So it's kind of like that's the starting point of who we want to coach our football team and be around our players every day. And our guys have just done a phenomenal job. Football teams are like the coolest thing ever. You got people from all these different backgrounds, all these different experiences, all these different expertises, and somehow you can kind of come together in a way where we're all kind of helping each other and going in the same direction. I think it's a powerful thing, and our coaches are living, breathing examples of that every day. They do a phenomenal job.
Hey, Mike, following that up over here on your right, regarding Jay Harbaugh, your special teams coordinator,
yep.
What stood out in your time around him before hiring him for your staff, and how has his characteristics kind of enabled that unit to be such a complementary force?
I love bragging on Jay because he's a kind of like a underrated hero behind this whole operation. I met Jay when I became an intern. He's the one who interviewed me in Baltimore back in 14, and that's where our friendship started. And he was a QC on offense, actually working for Gary Kubiak at the time, which is a small world. But and then he left to coach with his dad at Michigan, and we stayed in touch. But when I got to Michigan, it became very clear very, very quickly that this guy was a heck of a football coach, great eye for talent. The way he got buy-in and the way that he, like, creatively coached these awesome fundamentals and the guys, like, loved the process in special teams in college. Like, that doesn't – I mean, Michigan's a special place, but that doesn't happen all the time, all across the country. It wasn't my experience at Georgia. And I was like, man, this is awesome. This is really rad. And this guy's a really dang good coach. And then he coached running backs, he coached tight ends. I left, he became the safeties coach. This guy can coach football. And you think about how he operates and what his mentality is. I mean, it was like a very, very easy decision to beg him to come to Seattle and be our special teams coordinator. And he's done a tremendous job since day one. Talking about chasing edges, this guy, that's how he operates all the time. Pushing the envelope, he pushes me, he's got a great perspective. Not afraid to challenge the status quo. I mean, all those things. Just the list goes on and on. Jay's awesome.
Coach, back here on your right. It's been a long week. I'm sure you've answered more questions than you could have imagined. But the bond has really come through talking to the players over the last 3 days. Is there a moment over the last 3 or 4 days that has stood out to you that sort of says, we're here, we're ready, just something behind the scenes that has leapt out to you?
Well, you know, we do what we do, and on every third Thursday, we do a walk and talk, and we did it today, and hopefully the guys don't mind me. But the last question was like, hey, 10 years from now, when we have a team reunion, like, what are you guys going to remember, you know, and about this team? And I think shadow boxing was probably the most popular answer, but just for those guys to share those laughs and the funny stories, all the things that you know you probably haven't heard that are kind of behind the scenes. Just the list goes on and on. It's just it's a special group.
Hey, Mike, over here. Congratulations on a great season.
Thank you.
You've been on the coaching grind for a long time. What would your advice be to young assistants? You got a lot of them who want to be where you are. They want to be OCs, eventually head coaches.
Yep.
Your advice to them. And then there are a lot of young black assistants. You know, this year there were no black head coaches hired in the cycle. But your advice to them in terms of just keeping optimistic, keeping on the grind, just sort of your advice and perspective.
Well, my advice to those folks would be the same advice as to anybody else. I think the first thing you have to realize is everybody's timeline is different. And if you do a great job, like one of my fears is like that you're a fraud. You know, like if you just don't know, you know, like it's tough to be in a situation where you just feel like you're stuck and you don't know. So make sure you're doing the work on the front end to build a solid foundation. So when you do get your opportunities, you're ready to go. From my experience, when I've had an attitude of like, oh, I got to get to the next thing, and I got to be a position coach or I need to be a coordinator. It's like, it doesn't work like that. You know, those opportunities didn't come, you know, I was very humbled very quickly. But when I've had the opportunity, when I've had the attitude of, man, let me just be the best QC that Georgia's ever had. You know, let me be the guy that is the point man on how the meals work, where the coffee's made, how do you do the playbook. You know, like when I took that mentality on, that's where I felt like I gained trust and more responsibilities. And I call it can you help your team succeed and add value, especially the person that you're working for? Can you set them up for success? I've been very fortunate and blessed that these opportunities have happened relatively quickly, but and so I can imagine that some people get frustrated when, you know, their time hasn't felt like they haven't come yet, but I promise you this is a competitive enough profession and game and popular enough where, and it's efficient enough where we'll find the best people, and word travels quickly, and you can't. You're hard to hide. So, trust the process, and your time will come. But make sure you're ready.
Mike, the practice squad guys. Mike, right
oh,
here.
Sorry, Bob.
The practice squad or the ready squad guys, as you guys have named them. The obvious importance is that they get elevated on game day, but how important are they to what you guys do kind of during the week and all of that? And then how cool is it that those guys get to have this experience as well?
Well, I think the fundamental answer to that, Bob, is like we call them the ready squad, but they're part of the 70, you know, so they're part of our team. They're an integral part of our operation. It's kind of a dual purpose during the season is to make sure we're preparing, you know, your respective side of the ball as well as you possibly can. But it's also a developmental aspect as well, too. Like, we should be stacking great reps throughout the week, and you're getting coached up on those as well. So that's our philosophy. And, you know, you've seen our history throughout the season. I mean, we're elevating guys every week when they're ready to go, and guys have done a great job when they've elevated and really help us win, you know, several of these games because we treat them and they expect to, you know, like they're a normal player, part of the team. So, and in fact, that you're happy for them that they have this this experience. It's kind of like you're happy as the rest of the roster. You know, the rest of the people in the organization. So, they've done a great job. We got a really deep, young, talented roster, and they deserve to be here.
Coach, Myra Gomez, International Media. Congratulations and best of luck this Sunday. Two things. The first one, a couple of the players have talked about having some of the players from Legend of Boom, you know, times come in and talk to them. So if you can just talk to a little bit about how important that mentorship has been overall for your defense. And then the second thing is on diversification. You talked a little bit about having people from different backgrounds, different places of life. And this is the first Super Bowl where we have a lot of Latinos being a part of it. But you have Latinos, you have white, you have black, you have whatever identification come, all coming together for the love of the sport. And of course, in your team personally, trying to compete for this Lombardi.
What was the first question?
The first question was the importance of mentorship.
Oh, mentorship. For- Yeah, look, I think we came in with the mentality of, hey, like, this is an awesome organization with a really cool history, especially on defense. A lot of the players still have, you know, spend a lot of time in Seattle, so we wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to have those people around. You know, I think Asherm coming to talk to our team this offseason about playing at home, playing at Lumen, and making that place come alive, and I think that really resonated with our players. There's so many other more examples, and they know this, but officially, like, on the record, I mean, they're always, I mean, doors are open all the time to these guys, and they're around all the time, and it's just a blast. I mean, look, you grew up, you're a fan of these people growing up, especially me. So to have them, you know, want to be a, play a role in our football team is pretty awesome. In terms of diversification or, you know, whatever word you want to call it, it's just we're in the business of team building, you know, and trying to be the best team we can possibly be, and turns out that's what makes the best teams. So it's pretty simple decision criteria on our part, frankly. So, and we love it, you know. It's just, but the common thread is we love football. You know, we love the process, and when you do that, you know, you can come up with something pretty special.
Two more. Hey, Mike, on your left. Both you guys and the Patriots run a lot of stunts, games, and you're good at it. How big of a factor do you think that's going to be on Sunday? The ability to, for one of the teams to really defend it well, and also what's the key to being a good stunting team?
Well, with the first question, it's going to be a pretty big driving force behind how you affect the quarterback this game. It does allow you to rush less people and try to create pressure as well, so that's one of the reasons that we do it. And I think in order to be effective about it, you can't be robots. You know, there's a lot of like chemistry that has to happen for you. There's the timing of the stunts and like angles and things like that are really just kind of like chiseled away at over the course of time, where you understand like how guys run different stunts and the timing of it, and then versus different protection schemes as well, how guys set. There's several variables going on there, but kind of the common denominator there is like how well you can do it with the people lined up with you, so you can kind of create that synergistic type of idea. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Hi, Mike. Congratulations on a great season.
Thanks.
First of all, ton of respect for the offseason you guys had and the work you did with John. Seems like every move that you guys made worked out, and there was a lot of risk involved in it, getting rid of DK, getting rid of Gino, bringing in a guy like Sam. And I think it's not talked about enough how much risk you guys took, but I'm sure you guys never doubted the decision you guys made, bringing in Clint to be the offensive coordinator. Was there a point in the season where you said, like, heck yeah, this is working out, and the Super Bowl is a real possibility now?
Well, listening to your question, I'm thinking of how the offseason felt in phase 1, 2, and 3. And what I felt was a great deal amount of enthusiasm, a buy-in that definitely hasn't been like necessarily earned yet from our part as coaches. And that was really exciting. It's also a responsibility to make sure that we're, you know, taking advantage of all those days, and that we do stack those days, so you're not just banging your head against the wall every day. And frankly, I mean, look, our goal is to be here and win this game, but you can't, and I've said this earlier, but you can't do that unless you become a championship team. So that was our goal from the get-go of how we have to become the team that can win a game like this. And that was really where our focus was, and then that's where your focus is on more of the process rather than thinking, okay, like, this is where we're trying to get, and here we are.
All right, thank you.
Okay, all right, thank you.